I've got a few things to say before I get started. You know, I wore this pink shirt because of Joyce. She's my hero. You know, she faced cancer and praised the Lord the whole time. That's the reason I did that. I can't make no mistakes if you don't, you know, can't hear me. Well, now can you hear me? Okay, you want me to just talk louder? I can do that. Ask Mary Jo. She knows I can scream. like Jerry said, preachers are just louder. Well, I can do that. You know, my hero in here is Joyce Denton. And the reason why, because she went through cancer, see, and praised the Lord the whole time. Those are the people I look up to. Those are my heroes in this world. You know, my dad, when he died, listened to me, and I'll talk to Dad about the Lord. Talked to him a lot about the Lord. And he agreed with me all the time. I always hated that. When somebody agrees with me all the time, I know they're just putting me off. That's all they're doing. You don't know this, and you just don't. Yeah. No, this goes against the grain. It definitely goes against all that mankind knows. And so I said, Dad, he started dying. I said, Dad, would you allow me to come to your hotel? I'm in a hotel. Come to your hospital room and show you what's going to happen to you when you shut your eyes. I said, Dad, what's going to happen to you when you die? What's going to happen next, Dad? And he said, I don't know. I said, would you like to know? And he said, yeah. And I said, I'll come and show you. So I took a board up to the hospital. They had him in a terminal ward. Everybody up there with him and stayed in the room with him was going to die. And so I'm up there teaching my daddy what's going to happen to you when you die. Lo and behold, a guy next to him in the other bed says, started asking me questions about salvation. So I'd end up teaching about salvation. Well, I'd come up there the next day. The guy would be gone. He died. There'd be another guy. So I start teaching Daddy, and lo and behold, this guy would start asking about salvation. And so I'd end up teaching about salvation. Hey, this went on for 2 weeks. And I looked around, and Daddy had tears in his eyes. I knew why. I said, Dad, what's wrong? And he said, Son, you're not going to believe this. He said, you showed it to me 100 times. He said, but I just now seen it. Now, you know what happened after that? When the nurses came in to turn him and to change his beds and stuff, he'd say, I'm no different than a thief. I'm no different than Charles Manson, but the Lord saved me. Now those are my heroes. People that do that. Now I want to talk to you about Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. And I really want to talk to you about the Gentiles. But I'm sick of Israel. We are the Gentiles. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul said 13 times that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And I don't know what people see in that. But I keep, you know, you hear about Israel. Well, what about the Gentiles? How about your ancestry? How about going through the Bible and looking at the Gentiles and how the Gentiles fit in? Well, Paul did that, you know that? Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. Can you imagine going into a synagogue and preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision? I bet that went over like a lead balloon, don't you? In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse, I'll get there in a minute. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I want to talk to you about the riches of glory and the inheritance in the saints. And I want to talk to you that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of Him. Now, this is something you don't get when you get saved. You understand me? This is something He gives you. And I like it. I like it. I like a preacher that whenever he preaches something, that he actually studies the words in the verse. I was telling Brother Jerry, you know, get on the internet and stuff, and people will take a verse and they'll run all over the Bible with other verses and they'll get the meaning out of it instead of looking at the words that are in the verse and actually paying attention to the words that are in the verse, and they'll change the words that are in the verse, and the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth. And they'll say, well, this word right here would fit in right here, and it would fit in just as well. No, it would not. Amen. Listen, God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, preset every word in this Bible. It's been tried. And that word that He puts wherever He puts it, that's what He means to put there. And no other word in this Bible in the English language would fit in there. He meant to put that word in there. And when you rightly divide the word of truth, you look at the word for what it is. And you don't go somewhere else in the Bible to try to make it say something else than what it already just says. That's how you see the truth in the word of God. When you open this book, it's like God Almighty is standing right in front of you and He's speaking to you, and you're not to, as it is, say, well, you should have used another word. You got to be kidding me. They don't reverence this book as it being God's word. And when they open it up, look at it as God's word and take that He meant to say that. Listen, you cannot replace the word creation with make. You can't replace that. It's irreplaceable. And so when you look at your Bible and take it word for word, what God said, that word give, that's in the passage, it has an understanding of like grant. It's like God would grant you something. God would, you know, we are the most lucky, no, I'm going to say luckiest, we're the most blessed people, because luck's a druid, it's witchcraft. Luck is witchcraft. It's a druid priest word. We're the most blessed people on the face of this earth. You know why? Because God has granted us, He's gave us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of Him. And it has to do that our eyes are enlightened, that we may know, look at the verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is. It's in the saints. You understand that? Now, I'm going to do something up here. It'll probably get me in trouble, but that's okay too. I'm going to say, Paul had the gospel, and he had the dispensation of the gospel was given to him, and it says so in the book of Corinthians chapter 9. This dispensation of the gospel goes unto a point in which the church goes out, the body of Christ. There's a wall up here where everybody fights over. It's just a big fight. And that wall's here, and I'm going to say these books are wrote after that, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I believe this has to do with our walk. This over here, Romans through Philemon, over here has to do basically with salvation. Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans, and Galatians. But this has to do with the early church period here. I'm going to call this the dispensation of promise. EC did this. I don't see nothing wrong with it. This over here is the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay. Now I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. You know, there's some things in this Bible that if you take this Bible serious, I believe God will open it up to you. Psalms chapter 22, I believe that you can tell when Jesus Christ was on the cross and His very last thoughts. You can read Christ's mind as Christ is hanging on the cross. I believe in St. John chapter 17, the prayer that He prays there, and He prays about the ones who have given Him. I believe that's when He calls His apostles out there, John and Peter, and He takes them on the Mount of Figuration, and He goes to pray. The Bible says a stone's throw, and He goes to pray. And when He goes to pray, He starts praying, and guess what happened to the apostles? They do like the people and rightly divide them. They just go to sleep. And so they fell asleep. You know, He said, come back. I said, why couldn't you not just stay awake for an hour? I believe John chapter 17. And you hear what I said, I believe. I believe John chapter 17 is what John heard and heard him pray, and then he fell asleep. So he didn't hear the whole hour. He just heard him pray. Jesus fell on his knees and started praying. John chapter 17. John dozed off. He's a good rightly divider. But I believe in Ephesians chapter 1. And the dispensation of the grace of God, you can read God Almighty's mind before he ever made anything. Now that amazes me. What God wanted before he ever did anything. That's amazing. You know that in itself. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Watch it in Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I didn't pay attention to whenever I started. I'm sorry, Steve. He did. There you go. That's the slave master right there. Look in verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? When I say slave master, I mean it. I come up here one weekend and Steve was in the kitchen, sweat rolling down his face. And he said, Jan, you know, this preaching ain't all it's cracked up to be. And I knew what he was saying. You know, he said, do you still teach three messages on Sunday? And I said, no. He said, man, that's a job. You know, and my mind went back to when I was doing that and teaching all them Bible studies. You know, that was worse and harder than any job I ever done. To teach people three times on one day and come up with different messages. And you've been teaching them for 20, 25 years. Let me tell you, that's a job. That is a job. And that man does a lot of work, to say the least, the slave master. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you something. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now Paul, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, was caught up to the third heaven, right? That's where God is, right? You believe that? Let's see if you believe that. Let's see if you believe that. Look in Ephesians, let me see if I can find this now that I've said that. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4. Now watch in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 8, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Well, that's talking about Christ, right? He descended to the lower parts of the earth. Look in verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended. Now watch. Watch real carefully. Up far above all heavens. Now where did he go? Did he go to the third heaven? It don't say that, does it? He went far above all heavens. Now you see, if you're talking about your inheritance, you know, everybody talks about the third heaven. They talk about, you know, about the heaven that's around the earth, which in which the birds fly and stuff. And then they talk about the starry heavens, which are here. And then they talk about the third heaven. We're not talking about the third heaven here. We're talking about far above all the heavens. That's where he ascended. That's where I think that your inheritance is. You know, I've said it here before. You know, I'm not going to the planet heaven up here. I believe in the planet heaven that's there, that there's a castles that's in the sky, but they can't see it because the dust of his feet are like clouds in the heavens. And he's up there in that castle up there, and all the angels and all the seraphims and all the cherubims and stuff, they look up there to the throne of God, and that's where God is. He's in the awesome. He's up there on the throne. I believe that's where your inheritance is. You see, I've said this before in this Bible assembly. I believe I'm going to the big house. Yes, sir. I'm going far above all principalities, powers, and dominions in mind. Before the 24 elders and all those that sit up there and give counsel upon the planet heaven, I'm going far above all that. That's where your inheritance is. And when he said, it may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in him, that's what he's wanting you to know, is how much he cares for you. I'm talking about Gentile, not Israel. I'm talking about you Gentiles. Tired of hearing about Israel. That's all people. And they worship Israel. Well, God has a lot more in store for you and your inheritance, and you're to walk with that. I believe the book of Ephesians is about your walk and how you get up every day and you walk. And you walk with a knowledge of this. You walk with a spirit of revelation and wisdom. And God has granted it to you. He's gave you preachers. And when I looked at that word, may give unto you. And when I started looking at that word and kept looking at it, I kept noticing it kept going back to teachers and preachers. Listen, God has given you preachers and teachers to show you your inheritance. He gave that to you. He granted that to you, to us. God, that's amazing to me. That God let me see. He gave me the men to show me this. My elders. God, don't you love that? God loves you. Now watch in Ephesians chapter. Watch this about. Now we live in a dispensation of the grace of God. Now I want to show you something about God, and I want to show you what God was thinking about before he done anything, and I'm not going to get on what I was going to preach on. I mean, that's already shot. So I might as well just go with this. I was just going to kind of run through this, but I mean, it ain't happening. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, and I don't really care. You know, it don't really matter, does it? In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ," going to the big house, verse 4, "according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." Now watch real carefully. "According to the good pleasure of his will." You ever thought about God having pleasure? And it's his good pleasure. I'm not talking about your pleasures, what you have. I'm talking about what God's pleasures are. You see that? What God wants. You see, I see God looking at me at a different angle than what a lot of people see. When you get up in the morning, how do you walk? How do you think God sees you? How do you think, how much do you think he loves you? Just how much, see? How much does he care for you? Well, before the foundation of the world, before anything was, back when God, like this guy said, Pete Ruttman, we was talking about Pete Ruttman back a while ago. Pete Ruttman tells a story about two old Baptist preachers that go to Texas over there and said it's this church, and they're just black church, and said that they're just, you know, singing and having a good time, and said these old two white boys went to the black church and said they leaned in the window because you couldn't get into church. It was so many people that was in the church. And so they were standing out the window and the whole church was full. And so they got in there and said, this guy came up and said, he had white gloves on, white shoes on. And he got up there and he said, I want to ask you something, Pastor. He said, what was the Lord in the beginning? And the pastor said, and he said, okay, choir. He said, what was the pastor in the beginning? And they started rocking back and forth. The whole congregation started rocking back and forth. And they said, all together. They said, we don't know. He said, congregation. He said, what was the Lord in the beginning? They said, the whole church was rocking back and forth. And they said, we don't know. He said, white boys in the window over there. Said, what was the Lord in the beginning? He said, they started rocking back and forth. We don't know. And he said, it is glory. See, I'm taking you back to then. That's where we are. In his glory. When God is sitting in his glory, when there's nothing. I'm telling you what his good pleasure is. What his will is. Now look what it says. Look at verse 5. Verse 4. "According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now he made known, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It has to do with God's will and his pleasure. And if you read the book of Ephesians with God's will and his pleasure, you see what God pleasures in. You know how God pleasures me? You know, when my daddy died, there was an emptiness in me. A hole in me. You know something? I want to go see him. I'm ready to see my dad. I'd love that. Right now. Today, if it could. I'd go see my dad. That's what the Lord wants with you. Before the foundation of the world, God's desire and his pleasure was to be with you. Amen. Ain't that something? Who? The Gentiles. I'm talking about you now. Not Israel. The Gentiles. If I look at these Gentiles over here, these were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You know, nobody ever follows the Gentiles through the Bible. I don't reckon. You know the Gentiles are mentioned in the Ten Commandments. Look at this. Look in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. That means I got 7 minutes. That ain't going to work. I'll make it work. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 10. Let's go through this real quick. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor, now here it is, thy stranger. You see that? That is within thy gates. That guy I'm working with is agnostic, and he likes fiction. And I said, I have a stranger within the gates. He didn't know. No, that stranger within the gates is Gentiles. You're mentioned in the Ten Commandments. How about that? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Now, because of time, I don't have time to go into everything that I want to, but there are three different type Gentiles in the Old Testament. And when you look up the Hebrew word, which I can get it out of Young's and Concordance, anybody with a brain can look back here and get this. So it's not nothing that I'm really bright about. But there's the G-E-S Gentile. Those are the ones that are within the gates. Those back there gave sacrifices like Israel gave sacrifices. Those ones back there that the Gentiles were back there that were within the gates of Israel back there, those individuals over there, if something died on itself, they could give it to them. They couldn't eat it, but they could give it to them, and they could have it. But the Israelites couldn't eat it. Those back there that dwell within their gates on the Sabbath, they couldn't do any work. A guy asked me, said, how can an ox do work? And I said, well, how can they do anything else? I mean, good thinking about it. I mean, that's what an ox is for, work. What a silly question. But they couldn't, none of them do work. But yet, you know, they were circumcised. To be within the gates, they had to have the circumcision. It had to be of the flesh. And they did all the feast. And you'll notice, too, that when you study these Gentiles, and what these Gentiles were back in the Old Testament, is that they were part of all the feast, all the festivals, and they took everything that Israel did, they did except for going to the temple. They couldn't go in the temple, but they did everything that Israel did, and God Almighty was doing this so he could show the world how great he was and how great Israel was, and how that Israel followed his laws, and when they followed his laws, they treated themselves right, and not only did they treat themselves right, but they treated the stranger that was within thy gates right. And the whole world was to see what a great God that there was. But Israel didn't do that. Israel was backslidden. We didn't get salvation through Israel. The Bible says through the fall of Israel we got salvation. Not through Israel. It's through the fall. And Paul brings on a mystery. There was a table being set over there at Calvary. And God Almighty set a table over there, and Israel didn't partake of that table. And so Israel fell. Our salvation didn't come through the fall of Israel. No, no, no. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11 over there that they're enemies of the gospel. For our sake. It has nothing to do with the flesh, people. Nothing to do with the flesh. God hates the flesh. Well, what do you think Paul is talking about over there? Let me go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 before I got 5 more minutes here. Deuteronomy chapter 14, look at verse 21. He said, you shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gate. There's your one, the circumcision, the Gentile. That he may eat it. Or thou mayest, now watch, sell it unto an alien. That's proof right here. Feed from outer space. It's aliens. See, right there he is. That's an alien. That's him right there. No, he said, what could he do with that thing that died of itself? The stranger was in his gates and wanted to, was circumcised and stuff. He could eat it, couldn't he? But you notice what he said about that alien? He said, you can sell it to him. You know who that alien is? Look in Ephesians. Watch this in Ephesians. I'm going to show you that alien. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, whom are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. From what? The commonwealth of Israel. You see that? Who could they sell that thing it died in, of itself to? The aliens. What were they alien from? You got it. There are different type Gentiles in the Old Testament. There were those that were alien from the commonwealth of Israel. There, and when you look up this Hebrew word, there's another one called Nokia. They were the ones that were alien from them. And then there was another one called Zar. This one over here. These over here were within the gates. These over here, they sold to these. These over here, they hated Israel. And they were hostile towards Israel. There's three different type Gentiles that are back there. Now, I got 2.5 minutes, so let's run this real quick. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to show you the gospel of the uncircumcision real quick. Romans chapter 4. Now, Paul talks about in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, over here, that what did Abraham find pertaining to the flesh? And it was found, he found out that God didn't care about the flesh. That's what it, and he's the father of that. He's the father of that belief. He's the first one that was that way, that God has don't care about the flesh. Now, in Romans chapter 4, and that's what the context is, look at it, because of my time, look at verse 10. He said, now was it then reckon when he was in circumcision, talking about Abraham. When God accounted his belief unto him as righteousness. He says in verse 10, now was it then reckoned his belief for righteousness when he was circumcised or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Do you get that? Abraham's belief, and Abraham to God accounted it, what? The belief for righteousness was when Abraham was uncircumcised. You got that? Am I right? I'm right on that, ain't I? If I go back to Genesis over here, and I get in Genesis over here, I find out in Genesis 12, Abraham is not circumcised. How about that? You know where? You know when Abraham got circumcised? In Genesis chapter 17. Well, he said it was reckoned to him when he was not circumcised. Do you know in Genesis chapter 17, the circumcision started? Do you know that every Israelite, every stranger in the gate were circumcised over there after Genesis chapter 17? But Paul said it had nothing to do with circumcision, did he? It ain't got nothing to do with Israel. Your salvation has got nothing to do with it. It has to do with a mystery that came through the Apostle Paul, and Paul preached the gospel of the uncircumcised. And you're uncircumcised. I ain't never went to a church and they said, let's take you back and see if you're circumcised. I ain't never had that problem. How about you? Now you'll find it in Romans, Thessalonians, and Galatians over here. Paul has that problem. Why? Because that's the first fruits of the Spirit right there. He says so in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and they have a problem with circumcision, and we don't have that problem, do we? Baptism took its place, didn't it? Sure did. some funny stories about some baptism. And I've had a funny one too, but I'm not going to tell it now. But you see, the thing is that Paul has a gospel that has nothing to do with the flesh. There's no, listen, your salvation has nothing to do with your flesh. God took care of that at Calvary. The only problem you have is in your mind. The Bible says we're enemies by wicked works, by our minds. The only way you can be enemy with God right now is for you to not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's the only way that you can be enemy with God Almighty. He said, now is the acceptable time, the dispensation of grace, when he's not imputing the world's sins unto them. And you know that word, world, I just said it all wrong. Imputing their trespasses. Can I go a minute? One more minute. He said, not imputing their trespasses unto the world. You see, he didn't say, I'm not imputing their trespasses to the saints. See, I'm not imputing their trespasses to the lost. He said, to the world. God Almighty, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 26, said when he finished, he said he'd seen everything that he did. And he said it was very true. And if you imagine God, because I like to work with my hands. I'm going to tell you right thing now, I'm just enjoying it. I've been doing a wet bar, and I love to do it. Just stuck it with people. Let me do it. Imagine. God Almighty, in the beginning, put together a caterpillar, had thousands of legs and eyes and prisons on it, and he enjoyed the works of his hands. And the Bible says you're supposed to enjoy the works of your hands. I can see God making everything and just enjoying everything that he did. He enjoyed making the universe. He enjoyed making the earth, and he built it all for himself and for his own pleasure. And he loved everything in it. And long come Adam and Eve, messed it all up. God Almighty so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But see, you see, the world is not the earth. The world is a system that he made. The earth is the dirt. God Almighty loves every creature, everything that he ever did. And he bought it all back when Jesus Christ died. And listen, the Bible said he's not imputing your trust. You're trespassing on his earth. You're trampling it down. His creation. You're trespassing. And the first says over there that he's not imputing their trespasses. Listen, folks, you don't have to ask for forgiveness if it's not being imputed to you. If your trespass is not imputed to you, and he's not looking at none of them, then why are you going to ask for forgiveness?
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. You don't have to do anything. It's already been done. Trust Christ.